This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Anybody want to work for a bankrupt airline?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Most of the time, we're talking about how the major airlines need to take another pound of flesh out of their employees. Well, for the first time since 9/11, United says it's hiring flight attendants, 2,000 of them. But here's the catch. The new crew's salaries will be 9% lower than before the airline filed for bankruptcy, starting pay around $24,000 a year. The airlines and other companies have also been bailing on their pension plans, turning them over to the government. Here's something you might not know about pensions in this country. For years, companies have used all sorts of accounting tricks to hide pension shortfalls from shareholders. Yesterday, the accounting rulemakers took a first step toward changing that. From WLRN in Miami, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
The Financial Accounting Standards Board voted yesterday to overhaul pension accounting. It's no wonder. 1,100 U.S. companies have pension shortfalls totaling more than $350 billion. That's hardly a number for the footnotes. Rebecca McAnally is with the CFA Center for Financial Market Integrity.
The numbers are huge. They're just gigantic. Many of the companies don't have enough money put away to cover the cost of those plans when the employees retire.
True to the cautious nature of its profession, the accounting board doesn't want to rush any reforms. Getting those pension deficits into the main balance sheet could take at least a year, if it happens at all. The best guess for a more significant overhaul? 2009. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Now on to another kind of benefit. Today we recognize veterans. Last year the government had about a $64 billion budget to take care of the nation's living vets and their dependents. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler looks at what kind of bennies veterans are getting this Veterans Day.
New benefits include 2 years of free medical care for combat vets. And because 24% of young GIs returning to civilian life find themselves unemployed, the government's trying to get them jobs. Veterans Affairs spokesman Jim Benson.
They bring a set of skills most employers are looking for in terms of discipline, teamwork, ability to work under stress, and very teachable.
As for the GI Bill, it's not what it used to be. Under the program established in 1944, vets got a free ride to any university. Today's program requires GIs to help pay for tuition. The feds kick in about $37,000. The organization Veterans of Foreign Wars says that won't even cover room and board at a state college. Add in the rising cost of health care, and veterans groups say the 2006 budget shortchanges vets by $4 billion. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
These days, people blame Walmart for a lot of the world's ills. Now the company's accused of killing Christmas. The retailer has decided to go with the more inclusive Happy Holidays this year. The Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights doesn't like it. They're calling for a Walmart holiday boycott. Demand for the 10-year Treasury helped boost stocks. The Dow finished 93 points higher at 10,640. The S&P 500 gained 10 to 1230. The Nasdaq climbed 20 to 2196. The yield on the 10-year T-note fell to 4.58%. You're listening to Marketplace. Nearly two-thirds of American kids under 5 are in child care. That from a new census report called Who's Minding the Kids? As Work and Family correspondent Sarah Gardner reports, the answer might be a whole lot of people.
According to this report, more than 22% of American children whose moms work have multiple childcare arrangements. That means they may go to daycare and grandma's house during a typical week, or it's preschool and a babysitter. Fran Kipnis, research director at the California Childcare Resource and Referral Network, says these patchwork arrangements are often needed because childcare centers aren't open when parents are working. She's seeing an increasing number of moms and dads laboring on weekends, evenings, or early mornings.
We believe this is happening in the service sector. We know this is a big issue in the healthcare field. It's a big issue in the travel and airline industry.
Kipnis says in California, only 4% of childcare centers offer evening, weekend, or overnight care. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with national patients associations to educate and support patients and their families. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at Toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. As you know, the House dropped a provision this week that would open Alaska's Arctic Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. But across the state, one coastal village has a different sort of environmental fight on its hands. Aliza Sherman Rizdahl explains.
The Alaska Native Village of Nutok faces record erosion and increasingly destructive flooding. Nutok is located in western Alaska along the Ninglick River, a body of water so vast it's subject to wind, waves, and currents just like an ocean. General store owner Stanley Tom belongs to the Nutok tribe. He tracks how much village land is eroding away, between 60 and 100 feet of shoreline each year.
The water's rising. And it seems like it's getting higher every year. At the same time, we're melting. We're having a big time problem.
After a storm, river water rises to the doorsteps of village houses and submerges the wooden boardwalks between them. The village's governing body wants to relocate the buildings to higher, drier land. Private engineers estimate that would cost more than $100 million. But there's no government money set aside to move Nutok, and the village doesn't have the money to relocate. Tribal elders have been considering the problem for decades. 23 years ago, they approached Christy Miller, the state's flood insurance program coordinator.
They were interested in talking about relocation, and I was kind of amazed that they were that perceptive that they needed to relocate.
The Nutok tribe has lived the same way for centuries, fishing and hunting seal and walrus. Stanley Tom's is the only store in the village.
Now I can't expand because my business is sinking down. It doesn't have an insulation under it.
Environmental planner Dave Broadfoot has led workshops about Nutok's problems. He says the tribe is reluctant to join with other existing communities.
They feel that they will lose their culture if they do that. If they move in with somebody else, they're going to lose what makes them Nutok.
In meetings with government agencies, someone suggested the tribe could solve its relocation problems with one piece of heavy equipment. Dave Broadfoot says it will cost less money to do it that way.
Just having one Caterpillar tractor that they could use in the wintertime to pull some of the houses, because some of the houses are movable, and they could put them on skids and pull them over to a new site, which they have a new site picked out on nearby Nelson Island.
But so far, nobody's come up with a tractor that could move the village of Nutok to a safer place. Without it, the tribe's home is slowly sinking into the sea. I'm Aliza Sherman Rizdahl for Marketplace.
Hey, if you're into podcasting, we're doing that these days. You can get the details at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
Call it the Chronicles of...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.